Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's just jump right in. There is a parallel between the coming of the Magi to worship Christ, the newborn king, and a passage in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And I wanted to begin by reading John chapter 1, verses 10 to 12, because they really show us the theme of the wise men's story. All right? John chapter 1, verses 10 to 12 says this: He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So the world didn't know him in his coming. The Jews didn't know him in his coming. But there were those who knew. There were those who believed on his name, and they were given power. That is the right to be called the children of God or the sons of God. And so it is to this day. Our Lord receives but cold comfort and welcome from the world. But there are many scattered through the world who hear Christ through his word, receive him in faith, and receive the adoption of the children of God. And for this we rejoice. And our story from Matthew chapter 2 illustrates this. Now it says, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now this tells us a number of important things. First of all, it tells us that Jesus was born in Bethlehem in fulfillment of the prophecy of Micah. Secondly, it tells us that Jesus was born at a particular time, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea. Now, Herod was not a descendant of David. Herod was a half-breed, part Edomite and part Jewish. And he was a usurper king, and it was under his time of rule that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. What's the importance of that? In Genesis chapter 49, a promise is given. And the promise says this: the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And to him shall be the obedience of the people. In other words, when it appears as though the scepter has departed from Judah, yet there is a child born in fulfillment of the prophecy, so that the scepter does not depart from Judah until the Messiah comes. So in this one verse alone, we have a number of things that establish our faith that Jesus is the very Son of God and Savior of the world. Number one, He fulfilled the prophecy of being born in Bethlehem. And number two, He fulfilled the prophecy of being Shiloh, who comes when the scepter is departing from Judah. And so the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes. Shiloh is a Bible word for Messiah. And therefore, your faith in Him as the King who comes in the name of the Lord is encouraged and strengthened. Why do I say that? Because your faith is founded on a number of things. Number one, it is founded on the fact that Jesus in His life and work fulfills the promises God made in the Old Testament. And therefore, for you to understand Old Testament prophecy and its fulfillment in Christ is very, very important, because it's one of the legs of the stool upon which your faith rests. The second leg of the stool upon which your faith rests is the miracles of Jesus, from the turning of water into wine, all the way through, scattered throughout His public ministry, until the great miracle of His resurrection from the dead and His ascension to the right hand of God. The miracles of Jesus, carried out in the context of His messianic mission, are the second leg of the stool upon which your faith is founded. The third leg of the stool is the teaching of Jesus. When people heard Him, the Bible says that they exclaimed, "Never a man spake like this man. He speaks with authority, not like the scribes and the Pharisees." And so the teachings of Jesus about faith, salvation, the kingdom of God, and all that He taught is the third leg upon which your faith is based. The fourth leg upon which your faith is based is the atoning work of Christ in His obedience to the law throughout His life, and in His suffering and death upon the cross in payment for the sins of the world. And so, when you consider all these things together, your faith has a firm foundation. And in fact, it is the foolish ignorant of people who prefer ungodliness to think that the Christian faith is based upon nothing, that we just pull our faith out of the air. Right? Little do they know that it is they that pull their opinions out of the air. We know that our faith is based on certain and clear truths and facts that are recorded for us by the Holy Ghost in the Holy Scriptures. So right there in verse 1, two prophecies are fulfilled. So the wise men, they come to Jerusalem from the east, probably Arabia. Probably, maybe Babylon. And they ask a question. They start walking around town, figuring, you know, it's the capital city. The king lives here. Somebody's got to know something about this newborn king. So they start asking around. And now, that might escape many of us until we realize that these were Goyim. They were Gentiles. They were not Jews. And when they were walking about town asking questions, they got attention. Right? They got attention. Who are these Gentile dogs asking us about the birth of the Son of God, asking us about the coming of the Messiah? What on earth is this? So their coming to Jerusalem attracted a great deal of attention. And they said, "We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Now let me correct a Christmas card error. All right. The Christmas card error is that when the wise men saw the star back in Arabia, that they followed the star all the way to Israel. The Bible does not say that. They said that while they were in the east, they saw a star. All right? Past tense. They saw a star. And they concluded that that star was a portent of the birth of the King of the Jews, the Messiah. How would they know that? They're Gentiles. Because there were plenty of Jews living in the east, both in Babylon and Arabia. There were strong colonies of Jewish people living there with their synagogues, their Bibles, and their teachings. The wise men, or magi, they were what we would call in the modern day, we would call them philosophers or scholars. They were interested in the acquisition of knowledge. So they would have been familiar with the Jews and with their religion and with the prophecies of the coming of the Messiah. Now, we read in Isaiah 60 today, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the Gentile shall come to thy light." That's from Isaiah chapter 60. These men may have been well aware of that, particularly because it includes the Gentiles in the Messianic kingdom. Also, tucked away again in the book of Numbers, chapter 24, there is a prophecy that in the days of the future, a star will arise from Jacob and a scepter from Israel. In other words, a great superlative ruler, a great light for the world, will arise out of Jacob, that is, out of Israel. So they may also have been quite familiar with this prophecy, which was, by the way, pronounced by a Gentile. His name is Balaam. And he was the one through whom God spoke this message of the star arising out of Jacob. So right away here, do you see how much everything is coming together and fitting together while the baby Jesus lays quietly a baby at his mother's breast, and all of this fulfillment and all of this wonder is taking place right before those who have eyes to see it. We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. With the word of God in their minds, they saw the star, a unique and curious star. They concluded that it must be the birth of the Jewish Messiah. They probably saw the star right over the land of Israel. As a matter of fact, I'll go on to speculate that maybe the star that they saw was the glory of the Lord that shone round about the shepherds when the angel of the Lord announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds on the hillside. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. It could very well be that what these wise men in the east saw as a star over the western horizon was that glory of the Lord manifesting itself at the birth of Jesus to the shepherds. But that's speculation, all right? That's just my opinion. Whatever it was, the important thing is they drew the conclusion from seeing the star that the Messiah had come and that he would receive them. All right, let's move on. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. All right, what does this mean? This is, he was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Herod was alarmed because if Christ has come, his kingship is over. The people of Jerusalem are alarmed because what on earth does this mean, and why on earth are we hearing it from a bunch of Gentile charlatans? Right? So they're all upset. But notice that even after hearing the message that the Christ is born, when the wise men set off for Bethlehem, no one accompanies them. No one shows the least bit of real curiosity. And so it is about the Word of God. People like to give their opinions about religion. They like to say that what they think is true and what they think is not true. They love to talk religion in the sense that they want to hold it at arm's length. But to actually accompany the wise men on the blessed trip to Bethlehem to worship the king, that ain't happening. All right, so Herod, all upset, he gets the scribes and the scholars together and he says, "All right, guys, I need a question answered here. Where is the Christ going to be born when he comes?" And they, without hesitation, they say, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet," and then they go on to quote Micah chapter 5 verse 2, "Thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah. Out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people." So now, the wise men, whatever they knew before, they have come to Jerusalem, and in Jerusalem they have received the word of God for the strengthening of their faith and for the furtherance of their mission. So they hear God's word, and then Herod steps in his oily, nefarious way. "Oh, and listen, when you have seen him, bring me word so that I too may come and worship him. Like the snake that he was, and like the snakes that so many opponents of the word of God are, they pretend to really be interested in the truth of God when all they want to do is suppress it." All Herod wanted to do was kill the newborn king of the Jews. So he asks them what time the star appears, and he begins to plan what he's going to do. Meanwhile, the wise men, they set out from Jerusalem. Now, Bethlehem is about 7 miles directly south of Jerusalem. So they've got a couple of hours, maybe 2 or 3 hours journey ahead of them. But the minute that they step outside and begin to saddle whatever it is they were saddling, They look up, and what do they see? The same star that they had seen in the east now appears again to them. And this star serves as a confirmation of the word of God that they had heard and believed. Just like all the miracles of Jesus, all the miracles of Jesus serve as confirmation of his teaching and his person. So that if you're paying attention to Jesus and what he does, and Jesus and what he teaches, and then you see the miracles of Jesus, you cannot but conclude that he is the Christ of God. The only way that you can miss that is through a sinful perversion of your heart. Because that's what unbelief is. It is the refusal to acknowledge the verity of the Christian faith. Alright, so they see the star, and when they see it, they rejoice with exceeding great joy. Because not only do they have the Word of God, but now they have this miraculous phenomenon which is serving to confirm the Word. And if that wasn't enough, the star toodles right along with them until it comes to rest right over the top of the house where they were. Now, I'm saying that this was no conjunction of Jupiter and Mars, right? This was no conjunction of planets. It was no comet or whatever else people opine. This was the glory of God connected with the person of Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, that was manifested. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. And so this light that was seen is merely a manifestation of the light that is Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. He is the light of the world, that men may believe in him. And so this star is not a conjunction of planets. It's not a comet. It is a manifestation of the presence of Emmanuel in the world with us. So they follow the star right to the house where the Holy Family is. And when they come in, they do two things. Number one, they fall down on their knees and they worship the child Jesus. They worship him as the true Messiah, not only for the Jewish people, but also for the Gentiles, for the whole world of those who are in need of a Savior. That's the first thing that they do. The second thing that they do is they offer gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Right? Now, these are three products that are commonly found in Arabia. That's why many people believe that these wise men were from Arabia, because gold, frankincense, and myrrh are very plentiful in the land of Arabia. And so people think that that means that these wise men were from Arabia. Be that as it may, they offer to Jesus gifts which God will then providentially use to provide for the Holy Family when they have to flee into Egypt. What does all of this say to us? There are those who refuse to receive him, but there are those who will receive him. We have received him, and the proper way to receive him is to worship him and to offer him the confession of our faith. Gold, he is our king. Frankincense, he is our priest and our savior. And myrrh, he will die for the sins of the world. We confess this in our creeds. We are strengthened in our faith through this wonderful gospel. God bless you and keep you in this new year. Amen.